We're starting a new series today, as you saw in the video. It's called Abide. And last time we did a series, at the very end, we had texting questions as an option. So I want you to feel free to text in any questions you have on this subject as I get going. Today, I won't be addressing questions because I've got my talk that I need to get through. But if anything, like if I say something that you're wondering about, if you know, as I'm going along, if you say, I don't understand why you said that, or that I don't know if I agree with that, feel free to text in, okay? I'll look at these throughout the week. I'll use them to help me shape the rest of the series, okay? Or if you have a personal question you really just personally want answered, feel free to text it in, attach your name to it, and I'll get back to you. So I don't know if we have a slide for that, but many of you remember from last time, you text the number to the number 22333. That's the number. Then you type in FSM Life, space, and then your question. So let me say it again. The number is 22333. Type in FSM Life, space, and then your question, okay? Sound good? Let's get into it. So if you have your Bibles or your cell phone Bible, we're going to be in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we're going to have a number of different verses we'll be going to as well, but this is where we're going to start, all right? And I'm going to go ahead and read it for us, and it'll be on the screen if you don't have either of those. So here we go. John 15, 1 through 4 says this. This is Jesus talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So this is the first part of chapter 15, and already there's a word that stands out among all the other words, and it's the word abide. And if we go on, Jesus uses the word abide 10 times in 11 verses in this chapter. Now, when you're studying the Bible, okay, there's a rule called the rule, I'm making up this rule actually, but it's a legitimate thing. It's the rule of repeated words, okay? The rule of repeated or significant words. And what that means is this: if you're reading a passage of scripture and you notice a word multiple times, that's important. It's very, very important. It means clue into that word, figure out what that word means, dig a little deeper because there's something about that word that's really significant and really important. So if abide is used 10 times within 11 verses and Jesus is saying it, I think it means that abide is a really important word. So we're going to talk about abide, and we're going to start on that today. Now, when I think of the word abide, here's what I get a picture of. The word abide to me is very peaceful and very calm. Abide. Rest into something. How many of you have a couch or a chair or something in your house that's like your go-to couch or your go-to comfy place? Anybody have one? Yeah? I've got one. It's our downstairs couch. We just got it. It's brand new. I sit on it, and I've never had a chair that can recline before. It's the most miraculous thing of all time. You sit in it, it reclines, and ours is such that you can literally like lay all the way back and become this, whatever that is. 180? Is that it? Flat. 180 flat, something. I love it. I'm so comfortable in it, okay? Or I can have it like in the, whatever this is, 75 degree angle spot. My legs are out. I'm so comfortable. Ah. So when I think of abide, I think of that. Ah, I'm abiding. I'm abiding in this couch. I'm abiding. I'm sleeping in this couch. I'm abiding. I'm abiding in the couch, okay? That's what I think of when I think of abide. Now, this illustration, maybe you have one in your house, okay? Maybe it's a go-to comfy chair. Maybe it's your bed, could be your comfy spot. I don't know what it is, but it's that place you go to feel comfortable and warm. This is the visual I get in my mind when I think of abide. But I think this illustration falls a little bit short, and that illustration is not a complete picture of what abiding really is, okay? Because while sitting on your couch or your comfy spot or your place where you might be abiding, while that feels good, eventually you have to get up from it. Eventually you have to move on. Eventually you have to go to work. Eventually you have to, you know, not be there. You have to go and help with the chores or do the dishes or, for me, go play with the kids or go have a job and that kind of a thing. So abiding, you can't stay in that comfy spot. You just can't stay there. And that differs from what Jesus meant by abiding. See, Jesus, when he was talking about abiding, he saw abiding as far more than something that happens just a few times a week. Jesus saw abiding as something far more than just being comfortable, resting, and then moving on. Abiding for Jesus is something far, far more than that. For Jesus, abiding is far more than a few moments of comfort. Jesus saw something in abiding that was far, far bigger. Jesus saw abiding as the true mark of discipleship. And for Jesus, abiding was this, okay? Abiding is a constant, ongoing, all the time thing. Constant, abiding, ongoing, all the time thing. So in this series, what I want to do is this. I want to look at the Word. I want to look at the Bible, and I want to look around. I want to search around, and I want to learn with you the importance of abiding, and I want to learn how we can abide better. I want us to challenge our preconceived notions of what it means to abide. And my hope and prayer through all of this, honestly, is that you'd be inspired to more fully abide in Jesus, or realize maybe through this series that maybe you haven't been abiding in Jesus, and maybe that you'd be challenged to do that, and that it would impact and it would totally transform and it would totally change your life. Let's look back at the verse again in John 15, 1 through 4. Jesus says this, "I am the true vine." True vine. When I've heard this verse in the past, I've never stopped to consider that word true. But that word is so significant. I looked this up in a number of different translations, and it's there in a number of different translations. I am the true vine. So if you have your Bible or if you have your phone, I would highlight that word. Highlight that word because it'll trigger you to remember what I'm about to say. Jesus says, "I'm the true vine." Now, for a branch, and that's what Jesus is using in this illustration, he's using the analogy of branches and vines. For a branch, the vine is the ultimate source of life. The ultimate source of life, okay? For a branch, you've got to be tapped into that vine to get your nourishment, to get your life. Without it, you're going to die. Now, let me say this to you. There are a lot of vines out there that are vying to give you life. There's a lot of other vines out there that are vying for your attention, that offer you or give you the idea that they can offer you life, that they can be the thing that pours into you and gives you sustenance. Money is a vine. Money is a vine. Love of money is a vine. Fame and popularity, those are vines. Stuff, accumulation of stuff, that's a vine. False teaching, that's a vine. Self-help, that's a vine. False philosophies, those are vines. But Jesus says this. He says, "I am the what? I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine." In other words, I'm the only source. I'm the only source that's going to really, truly give you life. I'm not a counterfeit vine. I'm not an imitation vine that you saw on the shelf. I'm not a knockoff vine that you buy on the street. No, I'm the true, true vine. I'm the true place where you're going to get life. And while there's other vines out there that might vie for your attention, or there's other vines out there that might look attractive, no, I'm the true vine. I'm the place where you're really, truly going to get life. Okay? I'm the place that really, truly you're going to get poured into and you're going to get nourishment and enrichment from. That's what Jesus is trying to say. And he says this too. Oh, and by the way, my Father, God, my Father, he's the vine keeper. He's the one who's making this all happen. He's the one who allows the sustaining to happen. So the first step, you guys, in abiding, the first step in this whole idea of abiding is that we have to believe that Jesus is truly the only true source to abide in, and then be solely faithful to that. Be solely faithful to that. Jesus says this about himself in John 14, 6 through 7. That'll come up on the screen too. Jesus says this, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Enhancing what he says, "I am the true vine. I'm the only place where life can happen. I'm the only place where you're going to get true filling. Abide in me, because there's no other. Anything else you might want to abide in will not get you anywhere." See, the concept of abide has a very, very strong exclusivity to it. Exclusivity. That means that it's very, very selective. It means that you can't abide in something here and something there. No, it means you have to abide right here. That's the only place where life is really going to happen. That's what exclusivity means. Now, this is not the first time that this concept of abide is found in the scriptures. It may be the first time that we actually hear the word abide, but this concept happens all throughout scripture. It starts in the very beginning. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, okay, that was a picture of what perfect abiding was. The Bible talks about how Jesus, or how God would walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. It wasn't uncommon that he would walk with them. That's abiding. I mean, that's abiding in a degree that we don't even realize, we can't even comprehend right now. But what happened? Abide was interrupted because of sin. It was interrupted because of sin. And so what it says is that this, when man sinned, in Genesis 3:24, the Bible says that God drove them out of the garden. He drove them out of the garden. Now, he literally drove them out of the garden. Literally did. But it's also figurative. It's also figurative that man was driven from a certain access in relationship that was available at that time. And so ever since then, there was a separation. It wasn't the same. Abiding was not how God had originally set it up. Abiding was different. You couldn't have access kind of in the same way. And then from there, when you look in the early scriptures in like Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, it shows the system that God had set up so that the Israelites could have relationships, so that they could abide in him, okay? And it was a system that you had to go through. It was abiding, but it was abiding through ritual. It was abiding through ritual. So God said, I still want to have a relationship with you. I still want to abide, but you're going to have to go through these processes in order for that to happen. You're going to have to sacrifice in order for that to happen. You're going to have to live your lives in an extremely pure and holy way for that to happen. Exodus 19:5, God says this, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my people." I'm sorry, "you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples." And so what God is saying is, listen, I want to abide with you, but it's going to only come through your ritual. It's going to only come through sacrifice, through obeying of laws, through ceremonial purifications. Okay, the Levites, this people I'm going to raise up among your midst, are going to be the ones that help you get there. But other than that, there's really, this abiding is, that's how it's going to have to happen. And it's not what I had originally intended from the very beginning. So fast forward to John 15, when Jesus says, "I'm the true vine." What Jesus says is groundbreaking to the disciples. It's groundbreaking because the disciples, they were raised in a Jewish context. The disciples were Jewish. And think about their background, okay? They knew the scriptures. They knew what it meant to follow God, okay? They knew the laws. They knew the customs. They knew all that kind of stuff. And they knew that abiding in God was sort of based on ritual. It was based on a system. This was their context. But Jesus changes that. He changes that. And here's what he says. In verse 3 of chapter 15, he says this, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." That is so significant. That's unbelievable. Think about them. They weren't clean. Under the old system, a person wasn't cleansed from sin unless they went through a systematic process. Then Jesus says this crazy thing, "Hey, you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you." What? What in the world does that mean? He says this, "Listen, you're already clean because the words of life that I've given you, you've believed in, and you're clean by your faith. You're clean because of your faith in me. You're no longer clean because of your ritual. You're not clean because of ritual. You're clean because of your faith in me." That's huge. This is like groundbreaking for them. And then he says this, "Abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you." And this too would have been such a new concept for the disciples. Like, wait, Jesus, you're telling me that we can abide in you? You're telling me that we can have relationship without ritual, that unlike we've been taught? And did I hear right when you said that you're going to abide with us as well? What? This is totally new. See, before, abiding happened through ritual, but Jesus changed all of that. Now, abiding happens through relationship. Totally different kind of thing. Totally different. And instead of obeying a ritual to abide, Jesus changed it so that obeying comes as a result of abiding. Okay, I'll say that again. So Jesus changed it so that before, obeying a ritual caused abiding. But now, abiding, obedience comes as a result of abiding. Then Jesus goes on and he says this in John 15, in verse 15 of chapter 15. He says this, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you," this is big, "I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." In other words, hey, I'm calling you my friends, and that's because God told me that now you're my friends. This is so different from what they were used to. This is such a different concept. I can be a friend with Jesus. I can be a friend. So here's the deal, you guys. One of the essences of abiding is friendship with Jesus. That's one of the essences of what it means to abide. It's to have friendship with Jesus. Now, the Greek word for abide is the word minnow. It's M-E-N-O, but you say it like the little fish, minnow, okay? The Greek word is minnow. And it means this. In the Greek, it means this. Abide means to stay, continue, endure, maintain unbroken fellowship with, to be fully present. That's what it means to abide. So think friendship, but think friendship like squared. Friendship to the 10th degree, because it's more than just a casual friendship. This is a unbroken, continuing, enduring, fully present type of relationship. I like the term fully present because it's a term we use in our house all the time, Arielle and I. Because oftentimes, I'll kind of be daydreaming about something and she'll talk to me and then we'll go and then I'll forget to do something. And she said, "I told you specifically to do that and I was just not paying attention." So we've come up with this rule that if either of us, and that happens from time to time, right? So we have this rule that if there's something really important that I need to hear from Arielle, or if there's something that is really important that she needs to hear from me, we stop one another and we say, "Hey, I've got to tell you something really important. I need you to be fully present with me right now, fully present." And that's a cue for me that I need to listen up. It's a cue that I need to like, okay, distractions, I'm laser focused on you. Same thing for her. So abide has, that's what abide is, fully present, locked in, not distracted, no, locked in, fully present. Now, abiding is relationship. Abiding is relationship. Abiding is fully present. But even more than that, abiding brings life. Abiding in Christ brings life. Now, in the physical realm, if something abides, it's brought life. So a baby that remains attached to her mom or his mom, okay, the baby's abiding with the mom, there's life in that, okay? A tree limb that stays attached to a tree, it's abiding in the tree, there's life, okay? A skydiver who jumps out of the plane, he's got his parachute on him, he's abiding in his parachute, okay? Or hoping to abide, right? Stay close, be fully present with his parachute, right? It's just the opposite for things that don't abide, okay? If a baby does not remain attached, does not abide in the mom, what happens? The baby is miscarried and it dies. A branch that's detached from a tree, what happens to it? It dies. What happens to a skydiver who's separated from his parachute? He's a pancake, right? Pancake, that was my term for it. So those are examples of physical death that happens when something does not abide in something else. But abiding also has a less literal and it has a more spiritual consequence as well. So not in necessarily life or death, but let's take a look at a husband and wife that don't abide with each other. What happens? The marriage dies. The marriage goes away. Follower of Christ who doesn't abide with a community of believers, what happens eventually? Their faith dies. That's why the Bible talks so, that's why Hebrews talks about, hey, don't give up meeting together. Don't give up being in community with other believers. The reason the Bible tells us to do that is because God knows that when we're not connected, when we're not abiding with other Christians, when we're not being challenged and encouraged by them, then we can go off and our faith eventually dies. So there's life in abiding. In Luke 10:28, Jesus is talking to a lawyer who came up to challenge him, okay? The lawyer came up and was challenging him and saying, hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he was asking to try to trick Jesus, and Jesus knew it. And he said, and he asked him, well, what do you think you need to do? And he said this, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live, live, live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's abiding. That's a great picture of what it means to abide. Fully focused, okay? Fully present, unbroken. And what does Jesus say? If you do that, you will live. There's life in abiding. You will live. As we talk about abide, there's many terms that can be associated with abide. Faithfulness is a term associated with abide. Constant is a term associated with abide. Enduring is a term associated with abide. Fully present, again, associated with abide. So here's the thing, you guys. If we're going to be faithful in abiding in Christ, and if that's going to be something that we want to grow in, then abiding has to become a practice in our everyday life. In our everyday life. Because, see, growth and change happen both internally and they happen externally, all right? Now, track with me as I try to break this down a little bit. Change happens internally and externally. The Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what's going on internally will impact what's happening externally. So if there's a lot of good stuff going on in my heart, it's going to impact externally the way I talk to people, the way I treat people, what I do with my time, how I interact, that kind of thing. And it goes both ways too. What's happening externally, what I'm doing on the outside, what I'm saying, what I'm doing, that's going to impact what's going on inside my heart, okay? And so somehow God set this thing up as this reciprocal process where as I start to change inside, it starts to impact what I do on the outside, and then vice versa. What I do on the outside impacts what's going on inside, and it's this crazy cycle, and by that, God changes me. By that, God changes you. By that, God grows you into who he wants you to be. So if I want to be more patient, I can't just sit down and pray, God, give me more patience. I can for him to start working internally on it, but then I need to start working on being patient in the way that I interact with people. I need to start being more patient in situations and that kind of a thing. And then this process happens. Okay, God's working on me on the inside. I'm doing my best to be patient on the outside, and all of it's working together. And then guess what? I become a little more patient. Then a little more patient. And pretty soon, I haven't mastered it, but I'm closer to being more patient. I'm more like who God wants me to be. Here's another example. John, in the book of 1 John, we talked about it a while back when we were in the Little Guys series. John was challenging a church with this concept of love. And he says, listen, you need to love one another. And he writes this in 1 John 4:20. John says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, then he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. So how can he love God whom he has not seen? So Jesus is saying this. Listen, what John is saying is this. Love can't be happening on the inside and not impacting what's happening on the outside. So you can maybe think that you're loving, but if it's not being reflected in what you do and what you say and how you act, you're probably not loving, because both have to be working together. Now, in saying all that, abiding is faithfulness. Abiding is constant. Abiding is steady. Abiding is digging in when you feel like giving up. If we're going to learn to abide in Christ, then abiding needs to not just be happening in here. It needs to be happening in our everyday life, in our everyday occurrences, everything that we do. Because again, what you do on the outside is a reflection of what's happening inside, and vice versa. Abiding is digging in when you feel like giving up. I love that one. I love that one. See, my illustration at the very beginning was about a comfy couch, right, that you're sitting in. It's real comfy, but then eventually you get up and get out of it, okay? All right, that's not what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about abide. He's talking about staying with him through thick, through thin, through trial, when it feels like, you know what, I'm not getting anything out of my Bible reading, so I'm just going to kind of give up on this. Or, you know, prayer, I don't know if it even works, and I've kind of had some bad experience, so I'm going to move on. That's not abiding. No, that's not abiding. Abiding is digging in when you feel like giving up. So if you want to abide in Christ better, we've got to start practicing concepts of abiding in our external life every day. Be faithful in all the areas of your life. Practice faithfulness in all areas. Be constant in all areas of your life. Okay? Be steady in all areas of your life. Because as you do that, you're going to start being a person who abides. And it's going to trickle into your spiritual life, and it's going to impact that as well. Show up on time. Be faithful. Be someone that people can count on. Be constant in your presence. If you say you're going to be somewhere and do something, do it. Follow through. Be faithful in your commitments. These are ways you can practice abiding, okay? Here's a big one. Practice abiding in church. Practice abiding in church. And when I say that, I mean a church. Practice abiding in a church. Abiding, you guys, the opposite of abiding is bouncing. The opposite of abiding is bouncing. Abiding is not going to youth group here, going to church somewhere else, going to small group somewhere else, going to worship somewhere else. That's not abiding, that's bouncing. And when you bounce externally, inevitably it's going to spill over into your spiritual life, and you're going to be more likely to bounce internally. That's not what Jesus is calling you to do. That's not what Jesus is calling you towards. Okay? So in the context of church, you find a church and you dig your heels in and don't give up on that place. Okay? You dig your heels in and you stay there through thick or thin. Okay? Something's not going right, fix it. All right? But don't bounce. Abide. Abide. When you abide, your life is changed far more than when you pick and you choose and you bring all things around that, you know, when you pick different things that are going to make you feel good, it's not going to grow you at all. It's not going to grow you. What does Jesus say will happen when you abide? What does he say? He says, abide in me and you will what? Bear much fruit. Fruit. Isn't that what we want? Don't you want to bear fruit? I know that I want to bear fruit. I absolutely want to bear fruit. So when you abide, you bear fruit. What happens when you don't abide? You don't bear fruit. Now, that translated over is very consistent in external things in our life. Okay? If you have a commitment to fulfill and you don't fulfill that commitment, or you're kind of haphazard in it, are you going to produce much fruit from that commitment? No, not at all. You're not. But what happens if you're faithful and you're committed? You're going to bear much fruit. You're going to bear much fruit in all kinds of ways. See, without abide, you've already died. Without abide, you've already died. Abiding has to happen for there to be life. So here's the thing, guys. I'm begging you today to abide in Christ. I'm begging you to start practicing the concepts of abiding in your personal lives. Colossians 1:23 says this, continue in the faith. Paul is writing to a church. He's saying, continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. In other words, be fully present and focused on who Christ is. Be fully present and focused on his word and what the gospel says. See, the hope of the gospel is this, that sinful people separated from God without hope have received hope and life through Jesus. Your right standing comes from abiding in Jesus. Your forgiveness comes from abiding in Jesus. Your hope comes from abiding in Jesus. Your eternal life comes from abiding in Jesus. And even as I am talking about this, I assess my own life and I say, God, I say, Jesus, help me abide in you more. Help me to abide in you. Help my focus to be fully, fully on you. Help me to be fully present when it comes to you and the things of you and who you are.